So hi Ifeoma, you are welcome to my podcast. It's called the Easy Like Sunday Morning Podcast.
Why? Yeah. Can I ask why?
Okay, so thank you very much. Actually, the first guest asked me that. But yeah, it was supposed to be me and Isimeme. Mm-hmm. And we're going to use our name. So for a long time, I was thinking like, oh, what's this podcast name going to be? Yeah. It has to be engaging, obviously. And then one day it just came to me like that. So it's EZII, EZ for Izini, II for Isimeme, Ikikweme. Yeah. And I just like the name anyway, Easy, Easy. Yeah. So I just went along with it. So that's the short, long version of this podcast name. So Easy Like Sunday Morning. So yes, I am very, very happy to have you on my podcast because, like I was saying, you're a good conversationalist. And I just, like, when I was even thinking about who can I have this conversation with, you were the person that just came to my mind immediately because you've done so many things and I just see you as such a powerful woman. So basically, when I met you, you were modeling. Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you want to share with us, like, how you got into modeling? I mean, obviously, it makes sense why you went into modeling because you have, like, a modeling physique, but
Wow, that's so interesting because, like, in the past, I think 2 months, I've been so comfortable telling people, oh, I used to model, like... And there was a stage, there was a transitional stage where I couldn't say that because it was just like, God, I don't know what's happening. Am I not? Mm. I can still take some jobs. But now I actually tell people like I'm not. So just going back to the beginning, it was 2015, if I remember correctly. And I, obviously now, you know, the normal stereotypes, slim, tall, all of that. So that had gotten into my head a lot. And funny enough, everyone thought my older sister Onyeka was the one who was going to, you know, like take that path because she started out as a model actually.
Yeah, she has like an amazing physique as
So I was just on Instagram and there was this, my agency then, I was going through their posts and I was like, ah, God, like I want to be part of this, like how can I get in? I reached out, like I just DM'd the director of the agency then, or the owner at the time, and she was like, oh, hi, blah, blah, blah. And then she told me to come to her office. So I DM'd her. But I think my sister put in a word for me through someone that used to work at her then workplace. It was a fashion TV channel then. So obviously they had like links with the modeling agency. Yeah, all of that led to me visiting the office and then I got signed. And I remember, like, I want to just throw this in. I remember when I had to pay the agency fee to join. And it was about like 30,000 or so, if I remember correctly.
Oh, really? 10,000 naira then?
Yes.
Okay.
Or 15K. I'm not sure, but it was either 15 or 30. And you will not believe that it was the 10 naira, 20 naira, 15 naira I'd been saving from secondary school that I used to pay. Exactly. So I just wanted to throw that in because, like, preparation will always meet opportunity.
Oh, my goodness. You see, this is why Ifeoma is here. Because, like, it's something I always say. Opportunity will always come. But when it comes, will it meet you ready?
Facts, so then my father wasn't going to pay because he thought it was a scam. And I'm not... Now, I think it's free to join agencies, to be honest. I think... I don't think people pay anymore. But at the time, I knew that I wasn't being, like, scammed or anything. And I did... I paid with that money and I was so proud of myself. That was when I was about 15, 16 years
old. Oh, you were quite young.
Yes, exactly. That was how we started.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, when I met you, you were already modeling for like some pretty big names. And like, I remember I was just like, oh my goodness, just in awe because I did try to go into modeling once upon a time. I mean, it's just natural. Once you're skinny and tall, it's not like now that I'm fat now or that I've put on weight. But then I was very skinny and, you know, people would say, oh, come and model, and it was exhausting. I didn't like it. So to be honest, I had a lot of respect for you because I know that, like, you are doing this for hours. You have to come for makeup, you have to get your hair done. They'll say, pose like this, do like this, give me that look, turn your head. I'm just like, you might start in the morning and finish in the evening, you know. And then people see those photos and think, oh, this is just an easy job. Meanwhile, it takes a lot from the person to actually
You just enjoying yourself and, like, just even speaking on the whole makeup thing, I'll tell you guys, like, when Izini invited me, I asked them, would there be touch up or makeup?
Actually, I remember I was like, okay, Ifeoma is coming.
No, because that was just something, because in my head, it's just like, oh, the moment you have to be in front of a camera, like, this is what I've been used to. So let me just ask. If it's not there, it's not a problem. problem. Like, I comfortably appear, but I was just like, oh, let me just ask, you know, let me know how to just prepare my mind, because that would have determined how much earlier I would have had to come. Just all those things. And it's definitely from like history of modeling, where if your shoot is supposed to start by 10, because you know you're going to do makeup, you have to be there by 8. So, you know, fun times.
I think another thing that just really struck me about it, because when I first met you, actually, it was in like a prayer gathering. Some of my friends had come to pray, and you had come and you prayed with her. I think that was the first time I ever saw you. Obviously, gorgeous girl, you know. So I guess I just want to just ask, like, do you think that in any way the job you do has clashed with your faith on like a personal level? Like, you feel like, okay, maybe this is making me compromise, and then outside, like, how people have, you know, perceived you as a model who is a Christian?
Okay, so I will speak on two things. First of all, that prayer gathering was actually what led me to Christ.
Oh, wow.
Because I remember getting there and being in awe. I was like, God, how far? See all these fine babes, and they are Christian, they are on fire for you. So I can also be like them, like physically and
spiritually.
So that was actually the turning point. And I don't think I've ever told you this, but like, that was the legitimate turning point, because before then I had tried, I'd always been a Christian or from a Christian home, but that was the turning point. So I was like, okay, I have to find this God in the same capacity.
Imagine if we didn't have beautiful Ifeoma.
And I remember I remember how we even met up. There was a tweet from a friend as well. She was just like, oh, who wants to hear from God today? It was some too. Yeah, so I remember her tweet where she was just like, oh, who wants to hear from God? And then she sent location and everything. I responded to the tweet. So that's also another thing, is what you're seeking, you would find. And then like, going to like the other question, which is about whether it has clashed with my faith. So how I've always thought of it, as like I grew in my knowledge of who God is that God is very diverse. Like, he's very big. There are so many parts to him. And so we're all just little like pieces of an ultimately like big large God. Picture. So he positions his people in different industries, which is why I've never really bought the idea of, oh, this industry is for Satan and his agents. It's like, for God to penetrate, he has to put people there. It's a very tricky domain,
line to walk.
Once you know who you are in Christ, and that at like fundamentally is the mindset you use, you know that you cannot be easily corrupted. Because I would say, like, for me personally, I was in the industry for years, and I can tell you for free that I don't think there was any point where I felt like I compromised on something. Where it might have looked like compromise is in the eyes of outsiders, people outside the industry. But even when people say, oh, you have to sleep with XYZ for this, I never got any of those approaches. I never had any of those experiences, because God just preserved me, and he preserved me because he wanted me to be
to
there
be in that industry.
Exactly. So you might be in an industry where it feels like, oh, this place is, you know, there's a lot of evil that happens here, but your experience will just be different. I don't have any stories. I don't have
my goodness, I feel this on such a deeply spiritual level, because like, this feels like such a holy moment, because in church on Sunday, like, that was this, you know, sermon. They were basically talking about like how Daniel was in Babylon, you know, and how God did not rescue him out of it. So the question that we asked that day was just what you said, like, where is God sending you into that you are living for Satan and the world to take over, because you feel it's not a good place? Why would you get into a place where you can be light and just feel like, no, it's not the place I should be, I'm out, you know? So yes, definitely, that's something God has, you know, has spoken to me about. I really, really do like that. So how do you think people who are on the outside have sort of like looked at you?
I don't know. Like, if you've not told me, I don't know.
And
even if there are times where I might have done something like out of line, if anyone had genuine concern for me, I feel like they should or would or could have come up to tell me, just because of, like, you know, sometimes as well, like, as human beings, we, you know, we can cross boundaries.
Yes.
But my biggest hope or joy in life is that I always have people who are not just yes men. Oh, everything Ifeoma does is perfect. So I don't know how people might have perceived me, but I would say that God's will has been done. God's will has been done in my life for that transitional phase, because I would also, like, as we speak, I would also talk about how that season or that phase of my life was super, super important or essential for where I am now. And so whether people perceived it a certain way, I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. I think one thing God has taught me, like I was sharing with you, compassion for people. It's so easy to look at somebody else and think that you could be doing better than them. And yeah, something else that I've seen is that yes, somebody can be doing something wrong. That's actually valid. You know, but I also believe that proximity is needed for correction to be effective. Like, you cannot not know somebody and just walk up to them and just be like, I think you should do this and that. I guess the reason why I was asking is because I have experienced people basically trying to put me in a box, right? So it is that, isn't it, you are a very spiritual person, you know God, you love God, he speaks to you, therefore how can you be other things? Like, how can you have other interests? It's obvious that you need to start a ministry in the rigid sense of what a ministry is. You have to be a pastor's wife, or it's time for you to start casting out demons. And not to say, I don't have anything against these things. You've obviously seen me over years. I love to serve. I love to minister. I love to preach. I love to help people. But I found myself struggling so much because I'm like, I have so much more to offer. And I just wish that people would allow me or just even see me beyond just, I don't know how to say it, like a spiritual fix, maybe.
I would ultimately say that, like, that is your own responsibility, because at the end of the day, the end goal is to be obedient to God, right? So if God tells you do this, and but your worry is, oh, people would perceive me, that's to disobedience. I, like, you know, Adenike, right? Like, I remember when she pierced her nose, and she was like, God told her to pierce her nose so that, because it's like Rax is Jesus' best friend. See, there's nothing you want to tell me. She's like, quote unquote, the poster girl for what a right, upright.
I feel like she would disagree with you.
Quote unquote, because like, if you go on her Instagram, there's no post there that is not about God. And some people are like that, right? So I feel like at the end of the day, when people try to put others in a box, they're actually putting God in a box.
And wow, that's, it's like, beautiful.
It's very impossible to do that, because God is so infinite. Even lately, like, my image of what God wears, the kind of music he enjoys, it's so different from God likes hip-hop. Like, see, like, you're talking about the person who created music. Human beings cannot know. He created music and broke it down into the different genres of music. So that's even rock that people try to demonize. See, Satan is just so...
He's a thief.
Yes, because he will just take something and everybody will now start...
Leave it for him.
Do you understand?
That,
like,
he should carry it and go.
And for me, like, I'm just using music as, like, an example. I love music. Yeah, like, I've listened to clean rock Christian songs that are not, talking about someone being depressed and wanting to die. So, yeah, at the end of the day, like, people trying to put you in a box is a reflection of how they see God. And unfortunately, or fortunately for me, that's not my responsibility. Like, that's why it's important to always go back to the drawing board. Like, okay, God, who are you? Like, tell me for yourself. Like, what do you like? What are your interests? These are conversations I have with God. Like, what kind of food, if you were a human being who eats food, what would you like to eat? You know, just those basic things that help us release ourselves from, like,
I went through a lot. I remember that at a point, like, I've gone through several seasons of my life where I wasn't praying and, like, nobody knew. And, like, I wasn't praying because I felt like I wasn't good enough to pray. And that's because, like, people had said so many awful things to me. And when I usually say this thing, people are always shocked, like, ah, but isn't it, you're amazing, we love you. Like, and I understand that they are these kind people, but they are also so many people. I try not to talk about it because that's not where I want to put, you know, energy. There are so many people who have told me I'm not good enough, I'm not holy enough, I'm not focused enough. That kind of now translates that, is this what God is thinking about me? I don't like to deceive, you know, myself, because I know it's very easy for me to do that. It's very easy for me to say, oh, I'm fine, I'm doing well, everything is okay. So I always take the extra pain to say, what may I not be doing well? So when those voices come, there's a tendency for me to be like, is this what maybe God is really thinking? Mm-hmm. Whilst me, I'm here thinking I'm doing something well. Yeah. God is really thinking you are not holy enough. How can you say that you love me and you are posting vlogs? You know that's what I was thinking. No, that is real. That is real. That oh is God. Actually real. Because I can remember when, I don't know if you knew me before all of these things, but I used to write fiction. That was my baby. That is still my, you know, baby, what I do in private, you know. Yeah. And I remember one time I entered into a writing contest and then I posted it to my Instagram. This was around the time where I was always posting about Jesus. Like, the two are not mutually exclusive. Like, I can love Jesus and want to write funny stories about buses in Lagos. It's like, why do I have to choose one? Do you understand? Yeah. And so I'd come online, I'd posted this story, and someone took the pains to come to my DMs and tell me, that's not for you. And this is something I've been doing my whole life, like since I was like 5. And the person was like, oh, stick to writing things about, you know, God. I was upset. That's just the summary, you know, because I'm like, how? You know, but after that, I stopped writing. Yeah. I stopped writing because I felt like, okay, maybe if I write, people would think I don't love Jesus. It's sad, but that is the, you know, reality that people feel like if you're a Christian, all you should do is read your Bible, talk to God 24/7. And I don't have a problem with these things. Like, I love Jesus. Anybody that knows me knows that. But it's like, you know, that it's even since I started doing YouTube that I found out that I'm so creative.
Yeah.
Not just in like writing, but like so many other aspects of it have just opened up to me that I want to explore these things. And then sometimes I feel like this one, I've gone, how many videos I've not mentioned Jesus?
No.
They will soon say that I've derailed or that the world has captured me, but you are not even seeing me in my quiet time. You know, so exactly what you said about like God sending us into these places, industries to, you know, represent him there, you know. So yes, that was why I was asking you that, because I felt that I cannot be anything other than somebody who is like a preacher. I don't know how to say it. Like, that's why people like T.Y. Bello just gives me so much joy, because I feel like she's doing everything.
We're not going too far with T.Y. Bello. It's so funny because it's also a cultural thing. All these hill songs, Spirit Lead Me, look at them. They have tattoos on their body. Like,
but there are whole channels on YouTube dedicated to talking about how Hillsong people are demonic.
That it just means that like you will never please everybody, because nobody can tell me now that in the body of Christ as a whole, Hillsong has not blessed you just by ministry of their music. It's crazy because like the only person who can be perfect is God, and that's who we strive to be like. So really, I mean, I've never been just the way my personality is. If you tell me something that sounds funny to me, I'll just laugh or I will not answer you. So I've never really like taken up people's perception, at least in terms of like professional goals, because I know the goal, like I know the reason. Like, God is being strategic, you know, placing his own people in,
I know that,
in dangerous territories. In fact, we even need to get to a point where we stop terming those places dangerous, because they are of God, you know, like everything that God wants people to be. Because at the end of the day, the goal is, I think, like, there's a Bible verse that says it's God's desire for all men to be saved. When he said all men, he means all men literally. And you would find
it's not his desire for any to perish,
so for all to come to. He would go lengths to reach those people.
Definitely. I know people who I never expected saying they watch my YouTube channel. I was like, what in the world? You know, I hate that I even have to make statements like this, like that I have to say things like I love God. It even annoys me, because it's like as if I'm trying to tell somebody I love Isimeme. I'm like, I have nothing to prove, because I know what is true, and I know who I am, and I know what goes on the inside of me. I know everything. But it's that something as fickle as wanting to have a hobby can make you look unserious. So that's why I was talking about, you know, T.Y. Bello, like why I'm so happy that, you know, she does photography, she does worship, she dances, she just, for me, she's living the life. Like, I'm just like, this is where I'm trying to get to. And I want to get to a point where I honestly don't even care anymore. Which is why I'm like, I have to talk about this on this podcast, that a person can be many things. Like, it's very possible if we serve a multifaceted God that created us in his image. Why do we think that people cannot be multifaceted? Why do we have to put them in a box so we can, you know, understand them and then file them away as, okay, Ifeoma is a model, isn't he, is a preacher, this and that, we just put it in. Like, why can't people do many things? But yeah, how did you like go from modeling to tech?
Like I mentioned earlier, that the story you know, adds up. And it was just a thing of, I was modeling and to an extent I was popular, like, mm-hmm. you know, to a considerable extent.
You were popular. Don't try and be modest about
and
it.
So funny story. Now let me tell you the funny story. During the lockdown in 2020, mm-hmm. I had started like learning how to code.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
just like, you know, let me try something. Mm-hmm. Let me just do something. I was very happy that the whole world was on standstill because I was like, yes, now we all have time to catch up, right? And so there was this particular... So then a lot of brands were, you know, creating engaging content, trying to get people online, you know, like active and everything. So there was this particular online platform. They used to host this speed dating shows.
Okay.
Yes. So they reached out to me. Because I was quite, you know, like popular, and they just felt, oh, I could host one of those shows. They reached out to me that, oh, they would like me to host, you know, that week's edition. So me, I was now even skeptical. I was like, God, I'm not looking for a boyfriend. And I don't want people to think I'm desperate. And this platform said, you know, they have
Get
their own.
CV.
Yes, but they have a wide reach. After like a while of being very self-conscious about it, I was just like, yeah, I'll do it. I'll join for cruise. Right? I had even now told all my male friends, see, if people come and request on this thing, I will just play on the live.
Yeah.
That was how my co-founder saw me.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. After that, he just reached out to me via email to offer me a job.
Wow.
Yes, like, at first, I thought it was a scammer, but his rationale was that because of the way I held the conversation with the people on that live show, he just knew I could do well, like, on his team.
Wow.
So crazy, so random. Oh, so imagine me now forming.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so what can you offer me? Like, I wasn't forming, but I was actually scared because I knew that I could not say yes to a job and not be responsible. So I was afraid. So he gave me two offers. He was like, oh, either like full time or just do like influencing for their product. And the comfortable part of me was like, okay, let me do the influencer first.
Yeah.
And after like we got on the first call, I did some research about him and his background and what they were building at the time. Then I never followed up, right? He sent me the offer via email and I never followed up. So it was 1 month after I was in the bathroom and I was just like taking a shower and everything. And God was like, for my dad person, go back and follow up. So I followed up with him and I was like, oh, I hope the job is still open. So we met in person. We discussed terms. I joined the team in December 2020 as just like a regular employee. I was supposed to lead like marketing and growth of the company. So that was how we started. And 3 months after joining, I carried the thing on my head. I literally bought into the vision of the person, not just the company, because it's very important to actually like who you are agreeing
to
work with or work for. So 3 months after, I think in March 2021, I just asked to become co-founder. Like, I asked, I was like, oh, I believe that XYZ. In fact, I didn't even need to talk too much because he now told me that it was already on his mind to ask me. But I asked first and it was just, that was literally it.
Wow.
Time back to our conversation about worldly or secular platforms. You can't be self-conscious to your own detriment.
Yes.
Like, if I had just said, I'm a Christian, no, speed dating. The truth is, I was not looking for a boyfriend, but I agreed to do that just because I was like, live life. Like, God is not averse to this thing.
Yeah.
Like, and that's literally where we are.
It actually reminds me of my story because I casually mentioned that I got into tech this year as well. Women in tech.
For real. Like, you know how to fix bulbs when they spoil in the house. We can connect our phones to charge. Different things.
But yeah, like, you know, how did I get that job offer? I had an event in December, worship event, and apparently the person who hired me had been watching my YouTube channel and just felt like, oh, you can tell stories. I think you can tell our brand and company stories.
Yeah.
And asked me for a meeting. I went to the meeting. I remember when we had the meeting, everything was sounding so serious. You know, when you are not used to, like, how do I say, you're not used to big opportunities coming to meet you. I felt like I was not worthy. I don't know how to explain it. So he was like, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do. I told him upfront that I can't do it. Like, I said it like, I can't do it. And he was like, you can do it. Go back home and think about it and, you know, research on it. Like, he had more confidence in me than I had in myself, you know. And I feel like that was just God, you know, because God really did put this person in my life and in, you know, just in my life as a blessing.
Yeah.
I remember I went home, I did research. I saw that I can actually do yeah. this thing. And that's why I started working in this company. So that was how I also got into tech. And yeah. that whole experience of getting into tech even just widened my mind to like yeah. so many other things yes. that I don't even want to go into. But yeah. yeah, basically, it's just how like you were saying that opportunity will always meet you.
Yep.
But it's like, are you ready? And like, you know, what do you have? And I really love that you took that step to go on that, you know, speed dating thing.
Mm-hmm. And you can lie to everybody, including yourself, but mm-hmm. you can't lie to God because he mm-hmm. sees your heart. Like, he knew, like, I was not saying, I don't even mm-hmm. want to go on this thing. Because he knew that, like, I was genuinely not looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was not why I was eager mm-hmm. to say yes mm-hmm. to that thing. Mm-hmm. He just knew that I wanted to go and just have fun.
Yeah.
And just because I mobilized my friends. Like, mm-hmm. at the end of the day, I think about 70% of the people who dialed in were my friends. That mm-hmm. were just like, oh, you guys, come on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I already know you guys. Mm-hmm. So there's no... It's not going yeah. to be... So that was what happened. And God sees your heart. Like, he knows when you're being pretentious or when you're not.
Those are your friends. Are you sure they were not even start to ask you out?
No. See, it was so funny because I was in one of my friend's house
mm-hmm.
and three of them were downstairs. And they, uh-huh. yes, it was like cruise. Basically, yeah. we're just catching cruise. I was upstairs and they all dialed in. They yeah. were acting like they didn't know me yeah. from scratch. Everything. I was like, see this one. So that was how that happened. So yeah. God always, he sees your heart. Like,
yeah, for sure.
He knows your intentions. And I think once your intentions are genuine, you know, he would, God is, he's chill, man. You guys, relax.
So, like, we've already talked off camera, but like, what challenges have you faced that you're comfortable to share about yeah. moving from, like, you know, being a model to being in tech? And there was something else that you mentioned. You said that you've stopped modeling.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so, like, how has that been for people who have known you as a model? For instance, like, let's say people that want to reach out for a job and they're not seeing that Fama is doing founder things, what's going yeah. on? Yeah.
I think it just naturally even ended.
Mm.
Like
just like a season that comes to yeah. an end.
And the modeling industry is very seasonal. It's very time-based. So even when you're not, like, quote-unquote, popping anymore, when you're not the rave of the moment, nobody, and you're not actively doing anything to put yourself out there as a model, nobody is going to reach out to you. Like,
wow, that's sad.
So, yeah, so it just naturally, like, and that was even when, like I mentioned, I started learning how to code because I'd already started seeing the signs.
Mm.
I was like, okay. Before, maybe five, you know, like, bookings, which used to, like, sustain me for, you know, a reasonable period of time. Then it now became very seasonal. Like, oh, everyone is waiting for Fashion Week, which happens once in a year, just so that we cannot get that bag. So I started noticing the signs early enough, and I started accepting it internally.
Yes.
I was like, look. And I started asking myself, Foma, do you even want to continue this thing? Mm. So all the conversations about getting placed in an agency abroad, London, all these places, I never chased those things because I'm very sure that if I chased them, I would have gotten them.
Yeah.
But I never applied, or I did apply, but not with the same intensity as someone who really wants that thing. It came to its natural end. Even now, I'm happy to just take pictures. Like, you may not even need to pay me, but if I want pictures of myself taking, I'm always happy to still be someone's muse because I would always love taking pictures of myself.
And you're like such a, you know, natural, just like,
yeah, like like I want to still have those things. Like, it just came to its natural end, and that was why I started learning how to code, because I was like, okay, Foma, you can already notice this thing before it enter point of depression or frustration, pick something else up.
Yeah,
now
I feel you.
So that was it. And now there's still people who I don't know, are you confused? Like, maybe you're confused, or maybe you're just trying your luck reaching out to me, but I'm like, no, I'm not a model. And even like when people have asked me, oh, why are you not a model? I'm like, oh, God has better plans, because that's literally it. If I wanted to be a model, if I want to go back and start or continue, it is almost too easy for me, but that's just...
I feel like I was saying, I would have gone into modeling as well. And one of the fears is that it's not a stable job, you know. And even people who maybe might travel out for work, I don't necessarily see that their careers really pick up.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know that it's truly profitable. I don't know how to say, like, I know that they are making money, but I don't know that it's money that can change your life. Thank you. Do you understand? So I just feel like what you did is really wise, is to just know that, okay, I don't think this thing is really popping anymore. I think I should, you know, go into something else.
No, modeling is one of those things that, like, you have to actively complement it with something else. So I would say, like, one thing that, like, being a model has helped now is social currency, right? Like, I know people who have just known me for years, who, like, current users or customers of our products, just because they've known me. So that social currency, for some other people, they become influencers, some people write books. Yeah, you kind of have to complement it with something. And but it's a good starting point. It's a good place to start from if you don't really know what you want to be yet. And that's why, like, till today, there's only one Naomi Campbell who has been there for decades. If it was very, very sustainable, then we would have multiple Naomi Campbells. But we've seen everybody, they pop for a certain period of time, and after a while they just go low-key. I wouldn't say they fade out, because I have trust in people. Like, if I can transition, I'm hoping that, like, there are people who don't stop modeling and just start crying, like,
so you'll be shocked though. I feel like we are like not to sound funny, because I feel like sometimes I sound funny when I talk. I'm not trying to sound like exclusive. I feel like I know quite a number of serious people, and I think you're actually one of them. So I think that because you are a serious person, you might think that that's how other people are. But
I just have faith in people, like, especially young people. So because even, like, my younger brother, it's a thing, you know, all of us just seem to, like, start out with, like, modeling or fashion, because it's one of the gifts
God has given. All of you are fine now.
Exactly. So, yeah, but we all know, like, in the long run, you can't be wealthy. No, you can't.
If I'm mine, it's just saying everything. Like, that is the thing. It's not even really about paying the bills. It's, can you actually build wealth from this thing? So, yeah, so, like, what are some of the, like, challenges you face, you know, that you're willing to share? By the way, tell us the name of your company so that we are aware of what it is you guys do, you know?
So we're called SendStack, and we use technology to simplify the process of deliveries or, like, logistics for businesses. And I lead growth on the team. In terms of challenges, oh my goodness. I would say the first challenge would even be, like, internally, like, making that mental shift, because it's hard work. Modeling is hard work as well, or was hard work, but the category of work is so different. So you can be on set one day, 2 days in a row, and that might be it for a month. But here you have to show up every day. So just having to make that transition has been so hard, because in my head I always say, oh, if I wanted to be this, I'll just leave this thing and focus on building myself as a public figure, you know, just being myself. But God is just like, that tenacity you need to even do that. You need to learn it from here.
To build it here.
So that has definitely been a challenge. And I was sharing, like, with Izzy, like, offline, that I can literally feel the thickness of my skin increase, like, with every day that has passed. Even with things that just used to throw me off balance before, they no longer do. So I would say, like, that is one challenge that I've, you know, reasonably overcome, obviously with the help of God. The other thing would be, like, finding people. And it's so funny, because, like, you can have a vision God has given you, you can have a plan, but if you don't have people, you would only go so far with that thing. So definitely finding people, because it has been like a, like, series of filtering and filtering and filtering. So many, there are so many points where it has felt like starting afresh, even though progress has been made. So I would say, like, that has really, really, it has shocked me. I can't lie. But at the end of the day, like, people will find you, and you would find people once again, as long as your intentions are pure, as long as you're actually kind to people. But just always knowing that the people who are meant to help you, in, like, there are different types of people. So there are people who would come short term, they would teach you lessons in that short time. And there are people who literally, like, will be there for years. And even just, like, experiencing this has made me appreciate our parents more. Because our parents built businesses that they stayed, like, even they stayed at jobs, even though they were not owners of those businesses, they stayed there. In fact,
for years.
My
dad
worked
in banking for 13 years.
Like, 10 years, 15 years, they stayed. And I don't think they only stayed because of money. Now, in retrospect, because the value of money keeps, like, fluctuating. So I have, like, deep respect for the older generation now, even though they have their problems in terms mm-hmm. of, you know, how they might perceive work, but I do respect them a lot because yeah. they are literally the reason a lot of establishments
yes.
are what they have become yeah. today. So my hope or my prayer is just like for everyone who is looking for people as well, like God yeah. is going to find, he's going to bring people Amen. Your way. So if
I need that prayer.
yeah. So as long as like that thing you're doing is what yeah. God wants you to do, because you may not be finding people because you are doing what God didn't send you to do.
Yeah, says.
So as long as like what you're doing is what God needs you to do, he will bring your people your own way in due time. So I think yeah, those two things have been, I would say funding, but like the way I think of money these days, like if money is the only problem, then it's not a problem.
You started talking like them, like all those founder people.
No, money will always
find you. That's how they always talk. Like, oh, money is just this, money is just that. That's like, where you know that they've been seeing a lot of it.
No, for real, like money is the lowest asset in God's kingdom. The way I see money these days is like, if that is the only problem, it can be so like so easy. Like these days, you even have access to like crowdfunding. Like last, you'll find people who buy into that story and donate $5, $10. That's worst case scenario. So yeah,
I can buy into it. I like it. You know, we use your company for all the, you know, deliveries that we do, because like when I saw it, I was like, oh, finally, like something that I can trust, something that I know is going to work, because yeah. I know the person behind it.
Yeah.
You know, so yes, guys, I just wanted to have this conversation with Ifeoma and also just plug her because she's pretty amazing. And yeah, if you're a business owner or running a small business or a large scale business, you need someone who can handle deliveries for you, SendStack is your plug. So you guys make sure you go and check out SendStack on Instagram. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning into this particular episode of the Easy Like Sunday Morning podcast. We hope you've had so much fun and that you've learned a lot. Make sure you let us know what you learned from this particular episode, and if you are more Ifeoma that doesn't care what the world is saying about who she should be, or you are more Ezini that cares too much about what people are thinking. So yeah, I will see you in the next episode.